This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. You can probably hear the fan on. It is toasty today. Which doesn't really bother me. It's 92. Wait, I don't think that was at the moment. It's 91 at the moment. And I'm in my car, which means that since I just got in my car, having had it sit out all day, it's probably a good 5 to 8 degrees higher than that in the car. I wouldn't be surprised if the little thermostat would register 96, 97 in the car, but oh man, it's nice. Nice. Oops, my little projector or my little thingy here has fallen out. Just pushed it back, my recorder. It's nice to be warm. So I may be sweating a little bit by the time I get home, but that's okay. I'll just pretend that I am in a hot yoga class. So it'll be great. It's been a good week. Got a lot of good stuff done this week. Went over and did a talk to the gathering of all of the missionaries when they unveiled the new financial reporting system. And so did a little 5-minute, just get as much information out as you possibly can in 5-minute thing. And it's funny because, you know, I was just ramrodding through the information, and about halfway through I realized I was kind of in an altered state. Like, oh yeah, wake back up, look at your people. Because my mouth, I had practiced it enough that my mouth had just kind of got into autopilot, you know. But some people were there that we knew, and they were very effusive about the job that I did. So hopefully that means that it actually went okay. You know, haven't heard any other feedback besides it went okay. So got that out of the way, and then gone back to the next project that we've been working on, and I've been developing an approach. What we're working on right now is very complicated. It's a homegrown way that they've used to get things done, and I respect complexity. One of my tenets of doing consulting work is to respect complexity. That things did not just become complex because people just wanted to make it as difficult as possible. Things become complex because there were business drivers or political drivers that caused them to become complex. And because of that, if you don't respect the complexity, what happens is you develop a solution that seeks to eliminate the complexity, and then that solution, if it gets adopted at all, is abandoned at some point in the future because you did not respect the complexity. So, we are in the process of building an expert system that respects the complexity. And my first pass of it would have worked. It would have worked. But it was very granular. It was very atomic. And, you know, we could have done it, but it would have meant going through every single field and setting 2 or 3 properties on every single field. And from a maintenance standpoint, that's not going to be so good. And so I started down a path a couple of weeks ago while we were working on all the other stuff, and I just went back and reanalyzed everything from a different perspective and then figured out how I wanted it to work and then figured out how maybe it would be understandable if it worked that way. And I started with the understandable portion, and then when I got that built, I thought, you know, that, yeah, that's going to work. And then I thought, well, let's see if we can make it work like I want it to work. So that's what I've been working on and off this week, and I'm close. I'm close. I've got the last couple of things to do on it before I tie it all together and then kind of step back and watch it do its thing. So this is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this all works out. And then the next thing after this is I've got to reorganize all the different transitions that we had put together already because they aren't quite specific enough. So got to go through and reorganize those and then start tacking some things together. And once I have that done, then I can go over to financial services and show them the little demo. I've been over there talking with them once about this whole kind of reorganization thing, and they were nodding their head when I was talking to them about the concepts, because I think from everything I can see, the concepts, it's really the way they think about the data. They've just never been able to compress that into data structures and into any kind of a program to where they could relate to it that way. So I'm really, really hoping that this speaks to them enough in their language that they can actually keep this thing, you know, updated. So we'll see. We'll see. It's, I've been praying for on and off now for 2 weeks, you know, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, help me not to waste the company's money. But it just felt like this was the right path, so we'll see. We'll see. I may not know whether it was the right path by the end of next week, because next week everybody will be closing, and so it's going to be kind of wild and crazy next week, but maybe the week after that. Have a chance to get together with them and then go over a bunch of stuff, and then if that works and if we've actually got the analysis done, then we're going to get ready to start building the actual application. So so fun stuff, quite a challenge, but very, very, very interesting. As far as writing goes, I received all of the final copies of the book on Monday and of Windfall Broadcast, and so I put them in the mail already for everyone who reviewed the book on Amazon.com. Had some very nice reviews on Amazon.com, so that was good. I don't tell people they have to leave me a good review. I tell people you can leave whatever kind of review you want, but if you leave a review, give it whatever stars you want, say whatever you want, I will send you a personalized autographed book. So, got those all mailed out. Everybody seems to be happy with that. Been rereading the Windfall, The Narrow Door. Now, for going on the last 2 weeks, we've had guests, and so we've been doing some talking in the evening, so that's kind of slowed me down a little bit on my reread. But I've also had significantly more written this time, whereas last time I probably would have had 40,000 words or so, maybe 45,000 words by the time I went to do the final version of the previous book. This time I had 75,000 words down, and so it's taking me a little longer to reread it, but that all seems to be going well, and I've made some updates and some changes to it that I really like. So the goal now is to this week get finished with the read through, and then in fact this weekend to get finished with the read through on Friday and Saturday, and then to dive in again on writing on Monday. And even if I can only go back to my old schedule of 5,000 words a week, I think I can get this out by October 1st, but I'm really going to try to get back to that 7,500 words a week goal, because if I can do that, then absolutely I can get out by October 1st, because I can trim a couple of weeks off just the writing time. So it's going to be interesting. Going to try to get that done, try to get that started. There's still some pieces about it that I don't quite have, but this week I got a lot of new good pieces. So I just have to get through those and then tweak it. Hopefully I can get through all those things in 50,000 words or so, get the thing wrapped up, and then start on the cover. This cover is going to have Asher on the front. So it should be fun. It should be fun. Anyways, a couple of weeks ago, I read an article, and as soon as I saw the title of the article, I thought, oh, this will be good. And the title of the article was Women Trained to Resist Sexual Assault Far Less Likely to Be Raped. That's interesting, because I'm always interested in what are the positive actions individuals can take when they find themselves in certain situations. Like, many years ago, I did a podcast on the guy who was randomly calling fast food restaurants, telling the manager he was a policeman, and that there was a short-haired, that someone had come into the station and said that a short-haired brown-haired young woman had stolen her purse. And do you have anyone with short brown hair there? Well, okay, what are the chances of that? Yes. All right, well, I need you to take her in the back and detain her. And, you know, I can't get there right away to search her, but we need to make sure that she doesn't stash anything, you know. And so he keeps talking, and eventually it's, you know, so you're going to need to do a body search on her, so you're going to have to tell her to take all her clothes off, because this search needs to be done, because we have to make sure, and they have to do a cavity search and all that. And this guy is just somewhere in Florida just randomly calling these fast food places, knowing that in fast food places, you're just trained to be a cog in a machine. And these are young women to begin with who have a foundation of fear in their lives. And they believe if they just go along with authority that everything's going to be okay. And, you know, there were multiple cases of this. And when the authorities, the real authorities, would then talk to these women, why didn't you leave? Well, I was afraid and I was humiliated. And so, you know, and this would go on for hours in the back. This poor little girl naked, you know, clutching a little apron. And the guy saying, well, you know, you need to make her jump up and down, see if something falls out, you know. So, I mean, it's just horrific, just horrific. And I had shared that, those stories with my daughter. And she, in fact, used them as she was talking to her group of young women at the church at one point, telling them this story and telling them, look, you always have a choice. Always have a choice. Don't submit yourself to that situation. You have free will. You can walk out. And so I'm always interested in, this looks like it slid to the side. I'm going to move it back here a little bit. I'm always interested in, and I'm going to roll up the window too, because we're getting a lot of noise over there. I'm always interested in what options are available to an individual to deal with a difficult situation. So, there was a study that was done of 893 female Canadian students who were either given training or formed a control group where they were asked to read brochures. either get the real training or they just read brochures. The real training was called Enhanced Assess Acknowledge Act Sexual Assault Resistance Program, otherwise known as the EAAPAAA. So 1 year later then, those who had, they went back to talk to these young women as to whether they took the training or they just read brochures. And they said of those who took the training, they had experienced far fewer completed rapes than those who did not. And far fewer attempted rapes. So out of, you can divide that 890 some odd by half. Out of that, within one group that had taken the training, there was 5.2% completed rapes, and in the other group, there was 9.8% completed rapes. And in the attempted group, in that group, there was 3.4 attempted rapes, and in the ones that read the brochure, there was 9.3%. So there was a significant difference between the groups. And Charlene Son, the University of Windsor Women's Studies professor and notable sexual assault expert, who was the lead researcher in the study, and this is a study that's published in the New England Journal of Medicine, so it's not some weird offshoot. Recognized journal, the New England Journal of Medicine. She said, what this means in practical terms is that enrolling 22 women in the EAAA resistance program would prevent one additional rape from occurring. So, okay, so what was the big magic in this program? How long did it take? What was the big magic? This is only 12 hours. There were like three-hour sessions. That was it. 4 3-hour sessions. And they were talking to the women about what they learned in this. And one of them said, well, the greatest thing that I took away was the self-defense training, she added. She said, adding that she learned physical methods to get a person off her in the event of sexual assault. So this training really has 4 different components to it. One is assess, and that unit focuses on improving women's assessment of the risk of sexual assault by male acquaintances and developing problem-solving strategies to reduce perpetrator advantages. So, you know, be aware of your situation, but see what's going on around you. The next one is called Acknowledge. This unit assisted women in more quickly acknowledging the dangers in the situations that have been turned coercive, and explored ways to overcome the emotional barriers to resisting unwanted sex, and they practiced resisting verbal coercion. Okay, that sounds like a pretty good unit to me. Especially this idea of exploring the ways to overcome emotional barriers to resisting unwanted sex. Okay, what are those emotional barriers? Well, at the base of it, it's all fear. It's, oh, I don't want to hurt his feelings. Oh, it might get worse. Oh, you know, he won't hurt me. You know, he'll just, and then it'll be done. And I'll just, and this, this, that, and that, and that. And all of that is really just the voice of the flesh propagating fear. The next unit was ACT. It said this unit offered instructions about and the practice of effective options for resistance, including 2 hours of self-defense training based on Wendo Women's Self-Defense. And then the final unit was called Sexuality and Relationships. One moment. This unit provided sexual information, including the slang scientific terms for the wide range of possible sexual activities, safer sex practices, and strategies for sexual communication. Wait a moment, getting my mail. So this all sounds pretty good to me. This makes sense. We have a vehicle renewal notice. Is that for my car? Is that for Ned's car? That's for my car. Wow, how time flies when you're having fun. I feel like I just renewed my car a couple of years ago. But maybe I did, and it's a 2-year license. So, 4 sessions, 3 hours long. And these sessions significantly reduced the risk of being subjected to an attempted rape and significantly reduced the risk of being subjected to a completed rape. So the same lady that said the greatest thing that she took away from it was, I'm backing into my garage. One moment, just a second. Let me get back in here. Same lady that said the greatest thing she took away from it was physical methods to get a person off her. She also said she learned how common sexual assault is on university campuses. And how such skills as how to spot the body language of someone who may be in danger. She said, whether it's a man or a woman, she said, I think somebody should always step in if someone looks like they're in danger. She said she also learned the resistance, while the resistance training focused on how women can prevent assault, rape is not the victim's fault, but men also need training. Absolutely, absolutely. So, and this is kind of a chilling statistic. The chance of a woman being assaulted during 4 years at university is estimated at between 20 and 25% over a 4-year period. So what's the takeaway on this? The takeaway is that what the flesh would try to convince us of is that there is little that can be done to prevent sexual assault. And the little that can be done needs to start out there, and they need to do something to stop this. When in fact, what this study says, very elegantly, and in my opinion, very correctly, is that there are also things that can be done by the individual who might be a victim, a potential victim of sexual assault. There are things that can be done by the individual to become more aware of situations, to learn how to resist, or to overcome the emotional barriers to someone who is trying to coerce, and to learn physically how to become stronger and how to defend themselves. Okay, I am not saying that a woman who gets raped, it's her fault. I am not saying that at all. What I am saying is that any time someone conceptualizes of the idea that they are utterly helpless in any situation, that is almost always caused by the flesh. That really sounds like a low-flying airplane, doesn't it? I'm just waiting for it to crash into a house. I guess it's just going towards the airport. Well, wow, that sounded low. Anyways, so good article, good point. There is always something you can do. There is always a choice. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.